Jamie Hopkins. He has a master's in kinesiology and is currently a doctoral student in health education at UCLA. He also is the founder of Work It Out, a wellness and personal corporate wellness consulting business. Thank you.
How's everybody doing this afternoon? Guys, all right? I see a couple of eyes glazing over. It is 3:30. Everybody get up and stretch a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, we're all practitioners and researchers. We know how to multitask, so we're going to do a couple of things at once. I'm going to go through my overview. You guys get your stretch on. Our presentation, we're just going to walk you through very quickly Active Steps, which is a community-driven approach to improve physical activity and healthy eating amongst a low-income community of color in Los Angeles County. Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge two of my co-authors and really the life force behind Active Steps, manager Larry Eakins and Peter Prampich in the audience. Okay, I do have a financial disclosure. I was hired as a wellness consultant for this effort. Okay, as a quick overview, I'm going to walk you through a little bit about LA Care and our evolving model for community engagement. I'm going to walk you through the rationale for our Active Steps project, talk to you a little bit about how we approach outreach and recruitment, a little bit about the study design, some results, lessons learned, and some future directions for this line of work. Okay, about Los Angeles Care Health Plan was developed and created in 1997 by the state of California to serve as really the provision agent for low-income populations to receive health care services and insurance. It's a public entity with a community accountable health plan. As we move forward, you'll get to see more and more of what that means, the accountability towards the community for a health plan. There's a vested interest in ethnically diverse, low-income, underserved communities, so that's where the direct focus is. And LA Care is the nation's largest health plan, currently we just hit about the million mark, which is about a tenth of the Los Angeles County population. Okay, so about this evolving model. So there's four main areas of focus within LA Care. Of course, provision of healthcare services and insurance coverage, and supporting the safety net through direct financial investments in community health clinics, and getting community health clinics and other low-resource organizations that directly serve the community to that next stage. A campaign that's really going on right now is really getting community health centers integrated with electronic medical records and getting them on par with some other health-serving organizations. The focus of this talk today is going to be on the two pillars on the right, community family education and advocacy, and targeted prevention efforts. Okay, so within prevention efforts and the community advocacy is this real strong consciousness about strengthening community assets and cultivating what we call agents of change. The two main drivers for this focus is the Community Outreach and Education Department within LA Care and the Regional Community Advisory Coalitions, which we call RACs. Community Outreach and Education is a 13-member staff of policy agents, of health promoters, health educators. We have translators, everything that you need to really drive forth action within a community, a very low income and a very ethnically and culturally diverse community within Los Angeles County. So you need a definite strong support staff. And the true power of this whole notion of agents of change comes through the regional community advisory coalitions. These are 11 strategically located coalitions within Los Angeles County of Los Angeles, our LA Care subscribers, so people are actually there getting care, community advocates, allied health professionals, doctors, physicians, all that have a vested interest in making sure the community has a voice when it comes to how they're treated and when it comes to their health needs and their health services. So the rationale for Active Steps, this was a true meeting of the minds between the needs of the organization and the voice of the community. So whenever you're talking about community-engaged research, it's very important to not only have in mind what your vested interests are, but what are the interests of the community. So from the organization, some of their vested interests were, you know, their annual HEDIS performance measures found that they were consistently underperforming in certain areas when it came to chronic disease prevention, when it came to diabetes management, and the obesity rates of their subscribers and the populations in which their subscribers lived were consistently low, and they wanted to get those rates, or they were having a problem. They wanted to see some improvement in those areas. And when they brought that to the attention of the community through the RACs, what they said was, well, we need to make a vested interest in physical activity and healthy nutrition. And that drove the genesis of Active Steps, with the focus on physical activity, nutrition education, and healthy food preparation. So the goals of Active Steps, first, to test the feasibility of this new approach of engaging the community at large in physical activity and healthy nutrition. This was new ground that was broken with LA Care, so we wanted to make sure if we could really build on this model over time. To expand our outreach efforts and assess community needs, of course, as time goes on, the community needs differ, so we wanted to make sure that we kept our pulse on the community with this project, and then to elicit measurable changes in knowledge, behavior, and clinical and anthropometric indicators to make sure that we are truly seeing an impact with our efforts. So community outreach and recruitment, the efforts, of course, were spearheaded by our RAC members. All types of different recruitment strategies. There was direct engagement, went out to the communities, talked to folks, tried to get people through the doors of the sessions. There was even some active recruitment in a public housing project to get folks engaged from a variety of settings within the community. There was an all-are-welcome recruitment approach to this project. Again, we didn't want to shut anybody out from the project. If you were willing to make the commitment to attend the sessions, you could be included in the study, be included in the activities. And we had to put a cap, of course, on our numbers, because we wanted to make sure that our participants had a robust experience. And again, really thinking about using the community as an asset. So all of our instructors and many of the people that led the session, they all came from the community as well by direct referral from RAC members. The health department really helped us out in giving us leads towards educators, and then some existing relationships we had with community-based organizations. So just to give you a sense of the reach of some of these recruitment efforts, this is a map roughly of the Los Angeles County area. Los Angeles County is about 4,000 square miles. It's the largest county in the nation. About 10 million residents, and our recruitment efforts with this project reached about 3,813 square miles. So the 11 locations were very much spread out throughout Los Angeles County. So our curriculum and our activities. So the first year, which was in 2011, we hosted 6 sessions within each RAC location. And in our second year, which we just completed, we extended that to 16 sessions. Again, the community was very adamant about having more. We want more, so we provided more. Sessions were 2 hours. And in terms of what we provided for our participants, we wanted to really get a holistic approach. So, of course, we gave didactic nutrition education, but how we delivered it was through interactive activities. Again, a very diverse community, very diverse learning style, so making sure that our participants really dug into the material and really just had an interactive experience. And then the take-home projects and the assignments. Okay, taking that next step, you're trying to elicit that spillover effect. So you're having that educational experience, but what happens when you go home and with your family and you face the barriers of just kind of living in a resource-deficient community? So again, the projects and assignments were structured for them to practice what they were learning in the sessions. And then when it came to physical activity, learning is by doing. So we put them to work. 60 minutes of Zumba every time they met for sessions, and they enjoyed it. They loved it. So process and outcome evaluation, we had a participant survey where we assessed their physical activity levels, self-reported, along with some of their perceptions about physical activity and nutrition, nutrition behavior, sedentary activity, all those things. We had a pre-post nutrition knowledge quiz. We did some body assessments. In year one, we just did height and weight, and in year two, we were able to expand our analyses to do blood pressure, waist circumference, and body fat percentage. Participant satisfaction surveys, we wanted to know the quality of the experience for the participants and then for the instructors, because, again, we really came to them for support, as well as what is the best way to teach this population. So we wanted to get some feedback from our instructors as to how they took on the material. So our year one outcomes. So just to give you a sense of the population that we were working with, we were able to reach out to 415 participants, 247 completed sessions. Demographics, average age range was about 39.1 years, predominantly female and predominantly Latino. Half of our participant pool had 2 or more children, so definitely strong, intact families. and 77% of our participants had high school education or less. Now, this is really interesting because some of our participants, you know, had their high school diploma. Some of our participants may have only gone to year, you know, 6 or 7 in their education, so we had to tailor our curriculum to meet their needs, which was a challenge. But again, if you're doing community-oriented work, you have to arise to those challenges. So the health status. 80% of our participants were classified as overweight or obese on the BMI scale. 87% actively were trying to lose weight, so they had a vested interest in what we were giving to them. And some of the barriers that our participants identified towards having healthier behaviors and getting more physical activity were family obligations, lack of time, financial constraints, and lack of motivation. So some of our results, we're happy to report that across all of our RAC locations, on average, there was a reported weight loss. The average weight loss was about 4.2 pounds. Knowledge test scores improved by +9 percentage points. And again, really assessing the feasibility and seeing if this was something that our participants were interested in. 98% of our participants rated their experience as good or excellent, and they would recommend this to their family and other community members. So our year two outcomes, we just finished up year two, so those outcomes are currently in progress. Some lessons learned. So we did surpass our recruitment goals, and we did have those high participation satisfaction scores, so we know that we're onto something here. This is something that resonates with the community. We did have some challenges with recruiting more diverse groups, and this is something that we're really taking into consideration. Where do you tap into community to find individuals that, you know, have a more diverse profile? So for our next phase of active steps, we're taking more concerted efforts to reach out to recruit more men, to recruit more African Americans, and we're even talking about doing some developmental work around bringing in seniors and individuals with disabilities. Addressing multilingual participant groups, if you can imagine, you know, half of your participant group is English only and half of your participant group is Spanish only, and you have translators, and there was a lot of cross-communication. So again, trying to figure out how we can address that challenge. Some of the strategies to improve retention, which we'll talk about in a second. And then streamlining and simplifying data collection tools and procedures. Again, really getting to how community-oriented our approach was. The individuals that did the data collections came from the community. You know, they were trained by LA Care staff and myself, and we really put them to task because they were interested in building that skill set. So again, the procedures that you use have to be something that folks can catch on to and really latch on to. So that was a lesson learned for us. And standardizing the curriculum topics and the lesson plans to make sure that every RAC or every group is getting a robust and a similar experience, so we can do our analyses are more robust. So future directions for Active Steps 2013. Right now we are working on a collaborative partnership, really getting the details together for that with the Los Angeles Unified School District Healthy Start Program. We're going to be rolling this out at 8 LAUSD school sites and 4 community locations. And we're changing our approach a little bit because we really want to invest in sustainability, you know. So the way we're approaching Active Steps 2013, we're actually hiring our instructors not only to teach our sessions and run our sessions, but to actually train individuals that are going through the sessions and how to help sustain these strategies once they've ended their project. And we also want to assess the impact, and this is another added piece, to really help improve our retention rates, of assigning our participants accountability partners that kind of check in on a periodic basis, get a sense of how they're grasping the material, if they're having any barriers to participating, figuring out what those barriers are in problem solving, and just keeping them motivated to keep going and keep learning. So that's another piece of Active Steps that we're hoping to bring into action in 2013. So that was pretty much it. So I want to definitely acknowledge community outreach and education staff. Barbara Cook, who was on the executive board of LA Care, really was a champion for this cause and was willing to put some energy behind it. And really the efforts of this was driven by our RAC members and our executive committee that provided direct guidance to our executive staff and board of governors. If you're interested in this project, we do have some printouts of the PowerPoint available for you, and we actually have a one-page summary of LA Care and some of the other services we provide for the community if you're interested. And I thank you so much for your time. One more announcement, I'm sorry. We actually, one of our promotional videos was accepted in the film festival. That will be happening tomorrow at, 12:30, and it is in Moscone Conference Center West 2014. We'd love to see you there.
I think this has been a great little trip from the east to the west coast, up and down the coast a little bit. I think there have been some very interesting common themes. I think flexibility, sort of expect the unexpected, the small successes, as well as the broader themes of leadership development, both with youth and adults, partnerships, the development of them, and measurement and evaluation. So I hope you all now are ready for some questions to everybody, and we have a few minutes for before 4 o'clock. So we'll take questions to any of the panelists. Yes.
Do you want us to repeat the questions for recording into the microphone? So the question was youth engagement and policy, to what extent have we followed young people in our evaluation? So have we followed them into adulthood to see to what extent they are applying their skills? That's actually something that we're starting to do now. So we're having conversations in our organization, not just both for evaluation, but also for fund development, about developing a more extensive alumni network. And one of the things that we want to do, right now we're trying to connect with the young people who have left and trying to figure out the best way to have an alumni group form. So what benefits can we offer? What would we do with them? And trying to make sure that we have that into place. And then follow up with them to ask those questions to find out what difference it makes. So, you know, does this influence what they choose to do with school, with careers, with how they participate in their communities? So those are a lot of the questions that we have as well. But it's just something that we're at the beginning of really looking at.
Yes.
Thank you for the question. So I think it was, your first part was what leadership roles were young people currently engaged in this policy work, and then who were they interacting with? And so if you think of people doing policy advocacy, adults doing policy advocacy, young people are engaged in all of those things as well. So if leadership for us means facilitation, it means public speaking, it means campaign planning, it means direct interaction and accountability with leaders. It means sort of these things that I think we're all doing when we're trying to move the community forward and change policies. And young people are experiencing all of those and developing the kind of skills that we think make a huge difference for them to help do the work, but also in the future. And so I think policy advocacy is like, youth organizing for me are places were so rich for leadership development. I think that because it's not just like this program in a box where young people have a six-week session where they learn leadership skills and they talk about leadership and people come in and speak to them about leadership. They're living it, and there's no better sort of opportunity to take to learn about leadership. Then, I think we try to do this work really authentically. And so you might have seen the pictures of young people up on the wall when we were showing them. There was one young people talking with David Chu, who is the president of the Board of Supervisors. The first picture was young people. That was after their meeting with Supervisor Eric Marr, who is a supervisor here in San Francisco. When we're doing the work with with policy advocacy, they're meeting with the decision makers, and I think that if it's a partnership with young people, then they have to be at those tables in the design, in the planning, in the campaign implementation, and that includes speaking to the press. It includes meeting with partners. It includes talking with and making asks to key officials. It includes holding bureaucrats accountable for enforcement of policies. So that's, I guess that's how I see it.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for the question. The question, if you didn't hear, was Montefiore has a large unionized workforce. Montefiore has overall 18,000 employees, and as you mentioned, close to half of them are unionized, both through 1199 and also through the Nurses Association primarily. And we have actually had very active involvement with particularly 1199, less so through NISNEP for reasons that may be particular to that relationship, but not out of lack of wanting to do that, and would like very much to partner with them. We have with 1199 worked very closely on some health promotion initiatives around healthy environments in the hospital clinical settings themselves. We've implemented a tobacco-free campus initiative. We've also changed food offerings in the hospital food services, both for patients and staff, as well as visitors and the community that uses it. We've implemented a number of worksite wellness programs in conjunction with 1199 around nutrition and counseling for exercise and stress reduction. And the last point you mentioned, which is very important, is that, and this is an intention. We haven't sort of concretely developed a specific program you could point to, but there are some examples individually, and increasingly the fact that essentially by the best estimate 60% of this large workforce who works at Montefiore also lives in the Bronx, and many people live in those same communities that we're trying to work in, and so we're engaging with people both who staff the clinics in terms of their relationship with the surrounding community and would like increasingly to do that with the employees, accessing them that way, not so much as workers or people who belong to the organization, but people who also live in the community. So that's an important piece of this.
Great, thank you. Other questions? Yes.
For Jamie, that gets back to sort of community mobilization. So you're delivering what I call food and basket, right? You're delivering a program. But have you also thought about mobilizing them to do some policy work? And policy is a small piece.
You want to come up to Larry? Come on.
That is one of the really big pieces of the with the RAC groups is having that community mobilization. You're right, now that we do have this live data source, we can use that and kind of drive that into policy efforts. But I'll have Larry to talk a little bit more about that.
So one of the original reasons the RACs were formed by legislation was to have a community stakeholder feedback to our Board of Governors on concerns or issues around how they make decisions around health access. So one of the major things that they did last year was they were going to cut off a program, a Healthy Kids program, which provides health care for children 6 to 18 years of age. And the members got together and they did surveys, they did phone calling, and then they made a presentation to our Board of Governors saying that our families are thought to be poor. You guys think that we can't do anything. We're willing to pay a family premium in order to keep the insurance. LA Care paid $90, I think it's $90 per person for 12,000 members. They just can no longer do it anymore. So these families agreed to pay a family premium. I think it turned out to be something like $12 a month in order their portion to keep the insurance. And so that was one way that they came together, collaborated, all 11 RACs throughout the county, and talking to their neighbors and anyone they could find who were recipients of this Healthy Kids insurance program, and they were able to keep the program on. So they do work on an advocacy level beyond what was presented here today.
Any other questions for any of the presenters? Well, thank you all very much for coming. Thank you.